excited about this morning. For the last couple weeks, I've heard this phrase from the Lord. And so I felt like I've been studying the last couple of weeks to bring this message. But the phrase I kept hearing was, for such a time as this. For such a time as this, for such a time as this. And right now, that phrase is actually really big in our Christian community. Most of you know it's the scripture out of the Esther story. When Esther was being called and, you know, you were called for such a time as this. But I had a feeling that's not where I was going. It wasn't about Esther. This wasn't about a call for women and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. I really felt like God was talking to me about time. I feel like I've come to the understanding that, man, most of us think time is working against us. Like, it's the one thing we just don't understand. It's the one thing that's kept us from things in our life, like we just missed it. We missed it because time. We missed it because, you know, this passage of this thing that we have no control over. I do know that there's a scripture that says God works all things together for our good. And I kind of was like, oh, wait a second. You know, he actually said all things, not all things except time. Time's going to screw you. Sorry. That's not what I mean, and he's very good at, you know, in the garden, he said, you can have everything but. So I really feel like if God was to include time, that he would have said, okay, time's not your friend. But he didn't say that. And so I kind of want to get into it a little bit. So when I'm studying the word, I like to, this is where John and I are friends and not friends. But I really do like to get into like the Greek and the Hebrew and understand what was said, when it was originally said, and who he was saying it to. And so when the Bible was written, the word time actually shows up in several different words. But when we read it in our English version, we only see time. We only see the word time. Many of you guys have heard chronos. The word chronos, the Greek god for some of us, you know, but we've heard the word chronos. Then sometimes in church, we've heard the word kairos, right? So I'm actually going to spend a little bit of time today and explain to you why time is on your side. Don't sing that song, okay? I want to explain to you that this is actually a really good thing, that time is actually something that God has given you. You know what the Lord told me? It was actually yesterday morning. He said, time is something that he has given us to ensure his promises. That time is actually something so we can measure that his promises will be fulfilled. That's what it is. So first thing I want to do is I want to explain to you the difference with some of these words. There's actually four different words that we're going to go over, but the first one is the chronos. Chronos is actually time that can be measured. So it's seasons, days, months, you know, October 15th, it's January 1st, it's Christmas Day. Chronos is a very measurable unit of time. Does this make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay. Then you've got kairos. Kairos is something that is not measurable. It's a moment. Okay? So, like, the moment you fell in love is a kairos. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It's a place in time, but it's not, you can't pinpoint the exact second, right? Then the other two words I want to use are the word eon. We've heard eon. It represents like an age. You know, like the Roman age or it represents like a whole season or a whole generation, a very long space of time. And the other one is aura, H-O-R-A. It's for an hour. But in the instance that it's written in the word, it is actually going to like a specific moment, not just a week, but like the very minute that something happened. So if you were born at 3:33. That's the aura. Okay, so we've got these words that we're gonna kind of go through, and I'm gonna give you a couple examples. So Mark 1:15, the scripture says, I'm gonna give you a lot of scriptures. I like to give a lot of scriptures because I'm also super supernatural, and I like to see things float and fly, and so I try to back it up with a word, okay? So Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. That instance of the word time is a kairos moment. In that, he's saying the time, like the moment that the kingdom of God has come is here. It didn't happen in this second, but it happened in this kind of moment thing. Here we go. We've got, let me see. I want a kairos moment. I wrote lots of these down. Kairos. Galatians 4:4-7. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth a son made of a woman. That's a chronos. When the fullness of the season had come, that's the chronos. Okay, so we've got these different seconds. Now, how many of you guys have heard of Issachar? Yeah, okay. So in the Bible, Issachar was one of the 12 tribes. And this tribe, you know, the different tribes had different anointings or different jobs, if you will. The Issachar's anointing was that they knew the seasons. They knew the times. They actually had the anointing to understand these things. They were actually the first tribe to back David when David was, you know, becoming king. And during that time, it's in First Chronicles, they talk about they were the ones to back him. It's believed that Deborah the judge was from this tribe. Okay, the Issachar anointing, I just want to give you a little bit, because one, any anointing that's in the word, it's an anointing that you can have. Okay, it's something that you can operate in. If you're aware of it, like, it's actually good. The word talks about having the ability to understand the times and the seasons. As a matter of fact, I've got this moment here where Jesus is like, what does he say to them? You, I have it written because I don't like to flip through my Bible and then I can't find it and flip through my notes. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It is Matthew 16:2-3. When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. But you cannot interpret the sign of the times. He's saying you can't interpret the kairos. You can't interpret the moments that happen in time of, in the middle of a season, but you can interpret when it's going to snow, right? So we've got a weatherman who can tell us what's going to happen. We've got a farmer's almanac that will tell us what's going to happen for years to come. But we as spiritual people, I mean, I know for myself, I have sworn off horoscopes, right? I don't do that. I'm like, ugh, no good. But in the same season, we pulled ourselves away from the things that God has actually given us to help us understand what's happening in our life, right? Okay, so my main text today is going to be John 2. If you'll go to John 2, we all know this story, every one of us. This is when Jesus turned the water into wine. It says, on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. So this, he's actually using the word aura, which is the, like, my exact time it's not yet. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Okay. So, All right, let's just talk about this for a second. First of all, Jesus has not done anything yet. He hasn't done any miracles. He has not done any miracles. The only thing he's actually done that we know up until this point is run away from home for a little while. Right? Like, he hasn't healed the blind man. He hasn't done these massive miracles. He hasn't done anything. He's just her son. Okay? He's just her son. They're at a wedding. These weddings lasted for days. Days and days and days and days and days. And now they have no wine. They have no wine. She is the mother of Jesus. Do you remember the conversation that she had with the angel of the Lord saying, like, you're going to have God? Remember that? Like, she knows that her son is God. She's yet to see him do anything, but she has this knowledge. Okay? So they're at a wedding, and she says, make some wine, honey. I think of all of the things that I would have asked my son, God. The first miracle I would have asked him to do, I don't know that would have been wine. No, for real. Have any of y'all thought about that? Like, I'm sure they'd met people. He's about 30, 29 at this wedding, right? There's a couple of this. And she said, you know, and then when he says, woman, no. She turns to the servants and she says, do whatever he says to do. Now, my understanding of this was she understood the season. Now, how many? I'm a mom. I might just be a new mom, even though my daughter's almost 9 years old. Oh, my God. Ooh, okay. But as a mother, like, I know my kid. Like, I know what they're called to. I've spoke to God about it, and I can see when the seasons have changed, right? You know, okay, now this is this season. This is this season. You know, I can smell that teenage season. Like, you can tell what's happening. You know what's going on. She could see the season. So right now, there's an Issachar anointing. There's an anointing on her that is allowing her to see in this season, he's got the ability to do what he's supposed to do. Okay? So she tells the servants, do whatever he says. It says, now there were 6 water pots of stone. Now, in those days, the water pots of stone held about 30 gallons of water. Okay? So they were huge, huge. And when I studied this, I didn't realize that. I was just thinking, you know, water pots. But they are ginormous. Okay? According to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece, Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. Okay, I just want to talk about this again. So to fill the water pots with water, they're in a wedding, kind of like in the kitchen area, right? So they actually had to go to the river or the well. They had to walk away from the wedding to get the water.
That's right.
A lot of water and little buckets. They're not taking the whole 30-gallon jug and doing this. Oh, this is where, for me, it gets so good. I want to give you some. You know, so often I feel like we define our season by a moment. And I don't know that that's always good. So, for instance, many of you know that my house burned down. And I know that after my house had burned down, within a couple of weeks or whatever, I got to move back home. I was living in Redding, California at Bethel, and I got to move back home to New York City, which is where I wanted to be more than anything. I just didn't know how to leave. But, you know, you just don't know how to leave Bethel. So I got to go back to New York City, and it was amazing. My daughters and I, we had a little apartment across the street from Central Park, like literally on Central Park West, and no farther than the back wall, we'd cross the street and go into Central Park every day. I'd go to the museums with the girls in the stroller. I'd get hot dogs. Macy's Day Parade, we walked in. Like, I didn't work for the first time in goodness knows how many years. Like, this season was actually a beautiful season for me. Beautiful. It was amazing. But what took me into the season was my house burning down. I could have said, my house burned down and it killed my whole season, instead of recognizing that my house burned down and I had the most beautiful time. I got all this time with my daughters. I got to be in New York City with them in a time where I had, you know, a little bit of money because I had all the money from the house burning down. You know, I just had a good time. I could sit and be with my, does this make sense? Like, you can define a whole season by a moment, but you could do it the wrong way. You have to have a God perspective when you're in the middle of these things. I could just be sad and depressed and, oh my goodness, this is the worst thing in the world. But instead, you know what? It says in the Word that anytime something is taken or stolen from you, that even if you are the canker worm, you get 7 times in return. Right? So I got to just sit and get my return in that season. Okay? So what we have here is we've got Jesus, and we've got Jesus, and he is telling them, go draw. So they're going to the river. It doesn't say how long it takes, but I'm telling you, you know, they go and they get the water and they come back. And now listen, again, he hasn't done anything. His mama said, do whatever he says. He's never done anything to prove to them that what he says is going to make sense. Have you been in a season where there's nothing that has been said to you that is going to make sense, but you know that you got to do what God said to do? Like, yes. It doesn't, who is this guy, Jesus? What, I mean, there is 180 gallons of water. I want wine. Why am I getting water? This is ridiculous. Why do we even listen to Mary in the first place? What are we over and yeah, you know what, God? I said I needed to pay my mortgage, but you told me to tithe, and this just doesn't make any sense because I need that $50 to put towards my mortgage. So what are you telling me to do? But I'm gonna, you know, you told me to pray for my children, but they're out there being crazy. So why am I? But you know what? If you recognize the season, if you understand that in that moment, what God, listen, I don't know if y'all are feeling me yet. If we were in a black church, people would be up. They'd be feeling the spirit. They'd be like, I get you. It's that electricity we're talking about. That's what God does to black folks, a lot of electricity. Y'all feeling me? If you recognize the season, then the moments that are in those seasons, if you understand the chronos, then the kairoses that are in those, not only, listen, I think they can be pulled out. I think that you can pull them out before time. We're going to keep reading. It says, draw some out now, take it to the master of the feast. They took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. What makes wine good? Time. Time makes wine good. Time makes wine good. They just pulled this water out of the... Time makes... Jesus aged this water. He added age to the water. He made the wine... That's what makes wine good. He added age to the water. You know, I don't know. I've told a couple people, but I really feel like that is how we can explain the whole dinosaur debacle. You know how a lot of people, well, it's the Big Bang. Like, you have to, like, it's a lot of time, and we found the fossils, and what are you going to, like, they're a billion years old. Yeah, but God controls time. So, yeah, I think he could have put a fossil in the ground and put some time in that. That is the water turning to wine. I mean, come on. Like, that's not beyond him. Listen to me. This is not beyond you. The things that you... the things that you are saying, you know what, God, I don't have time. I'm not young enough anymore. I'm not this. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters. I think if you can recognize a season, if you can recognize a chronos, then a kairos is possible. You know, I went to the doctor when my first year of being married, and she was like, well, why aren't you pregnant? I'm like, what are you talking about? Why? She's like, well, because this chronos, this is the season, the first year of marriage, if you don't get pregnant, we think that something might be wrong. But that makes sense, because you're the most active at the first year, hopefully, maybe. But that's the season of that. That is the season for that. And so in that, they're looking for it, and then they can go, oh, there's some. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are times for certain things. Here's the thing. God was and is to come. Right? You, it says that you were crucified with Christ and then raised again. When did you do that? I mean, did you step outside of time somehow and do that and kind of get back in there? I know, this might seem complicated. It's not complicated at all. What I want you to know is that time is on your side. That time is on your side, that who you were created to be, right? That it says your gifts and your callings are irrevocable. They are not taken back. He said, before you were in your womb, I knew you. You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful all your works. My soul knows it well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of the days that were formed for me. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So when you tell me that you can't do something, I feel like you're not understanding that time is on your side, that for such a time as this, that you can actually recognize the season and pull yourself out, and you can grab a kairos, you can grab a moment, and you can pull it back in. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it was right now. You, woman, this ain't my time, but I'm gonna do it for you. Because I know who I am. Because I know that this is the season. Right? You guys starting to feel me? Starting to feel the electricity in here? I feel like this is the season. So when somebody gets up, you got a pastor and a preacher and those who are feeling and they're being a little weird, you know, like me, when I get up and say, I feel like this. I'm feeling like God is saying, this is the season where he's saying all of those things that you thought were forgotten. You can grab them. Come and get those things. Grab those kairoses. Grab those moments that you thought, I can't do this anymore. You said, no, 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 no. I got an open door. Come here. Are you going to struggle with me? You might have to walk back and forth and get that water. Do what he says. Do what he says. Mary said, do whatever he says. If that means to go back and forth for that jug of water and fill it 180 times, do what he says. The jug might be heavy, but do what he says. Do you understand what I'm saying? Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Hey. Holy, holy, holy. He's holy. He's holy. Listen, listen. Do not let time work against you. Do not believe. God did not say it was against you. He did not say time was against you. So I don't care if right now is the first moment that you realize that a dream you had when you were 5 needs to happen. It can happen right now. Do what he says. Do what he says. Get up. Go back and forth. Fill the jug with water. Do it. Do it. Do it. Hmm. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through every generation. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand. For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future, thoughts of peace and not evil. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come, I say, my purpose will stand. His purpose will stand. That includes his purpose for you. His purpose for you will stand. It will stand. And anytime you are ready, you can step outside of this chronos and you can step into a kairos and you can take that moment. You can take that moment and you can pull it back and you can give wine to a wedding. That is what we are supposed to do. That is who we are supposed to be. For all these people drinking water, we are supposed to give them wine. We're supposed to give them a wine that will make them drunk, a wine that is so old and so good, they'll wonder where we got it from. You know, if you are traveling and you got your kids in the car, and are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? My gosh. I'm like, well, as soon as they could read, I'm like, But as a kid, you're going on this journey, and even though you ask where you're going, you kind of have a peace knowing somebody knows. Somebody knows where I'm going. Someone knows how I'm going to get there. That's why I keep asking. I just wish they would share the information with me, right? This is what we're doing to God. We're saying, God, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And while it's okay to just trust him and know that he knows where we're going, I want to ask us today to not just be along for the ride. He actually invites us in on the journey. He really does. He wants you to know where we're going. He wants you to give direction. He wants you to be like Moses and be like, yo, I really don't want to do this right now. But I trust you. Right? Have these conversations with the Lord. Have these moments with the Lord. For such a time as this. I told you at the beginning, this phrase has been just repeated. I think, you know, with the election, with all these things that are going on, I think about my kids, and sometimes I'm worried. I'm just worried. And then I hear the Lord say, for such a time as this, I want to lift your worries today. I want to let you know that if you're in here, I don't believe in coincidences. I don't believe in any of that kind of stuff. That God wants you to know that this is the time, that you can use the time to your advantage, that you don't have to be constrained by time, that within time, you know, the other thing I wanted to say is, Don't think things that are insignificant that God has meant for your legacy. Think about Rahab. You know, she just opened a window. Jonah got swallowed by a whale. Ugh. I mean, really. There are things that seem so, so small that you disregard them and forget that that's really, I think it was my first week or something here, Pastor Yu had asked me to share a testimony about how the Lord took me to Richmond, and I was in Richmond for 6 months, And I realized as I was leaving, I was literally there just for this one girl. Like, one girl, she moved in with me. I found a roommate. She moved in with me. We lived together. And then the Lord asked me to move back to someplace else. I was like, I just got here. But when she moved in with me, she started to go to church. She got connected. Like, her whole life changed. And as I was leaving, driving out of Richmond, Virginia, the Lord told me it was only for her. Like, I brought you here for her. That little yes changed someone's life. And that could be like, what is your little yes? What little things have you already done? What little encouragement have you given to someone that turned their whole life around? I mean, Joel and Amber Grevy calling me and saying, you can come move here. I'm like, no, I can't. But they changed my life. They changed my whole, I laughed at them. I got off the phone and I was like, there's no way I'm moving to Defiance, Ohio. But they were so obedient and just asking me. Joel said, he's like, I felt like an idiot. I was like, she's going to laugh at me. There's a no. And I was, no. Not super deep, not super long, but to me, super important to understand what God can do with time, because I believe that was also encapsulated in even more will you do. Even more will you do. You can add time to the things that need to add time. Oh, I haven't been with my family for years. We've been apart. Watch the time come back into that relationship. Watch it be healed. I'm gonna wait a second because I just feel Holy Spirit. I don't know whose phone just went off. But that's awesome because it made me think of the It's a Wonderful Life every time, you know? An angel gets its wings, but then when I opened my eyes, I saw angels walking in this room. And, you know, angels are messengers of God. And for me, when I see them, I just think of the messages that they're bringing. And so I just want you guys to take a moment because I want you to take some time. I want you to take a second. I like to speak. I love to preach. I love those things. But more than anything, I like to give moments inside of that for you to spend with the Lord. Just this moment that you haven't maybe taken all the time. Just take a moment. I want you to hear from him right now. Because there is something that each of you is missing that you thought you had no time for anymore. That you thought passed because you missed it. That you thought because of your age or because of a situation, something that you let go of. Something that you said, well, because I have this condition, I can't do this, or because of this. And I just want you to know that God can step inside of your time and change all of that. That he can rearrange it, and then he can give you time back and age it all so that it's exactly where it needs to be, so that you haven't missed a beat. So right now, I just thank you, Holy Spirit. I thank you for the revelation and the wisdom to do with that revelation what we're supposed to do so that we can get on the right track, so that we can do the right thing. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. So this is not something to condemn you. It is something to excite you. It is something to set you free. It is something to make you wonder what God has next for you now, because the constraints are falling off. The bracelets, the chains that have kept you from these things are breaking off right now in the name of Jesus. Take it back. Take it back. Take it back. Take your stuff back. Take your life back. Take your time back. Take your calling back. Take your dreams back. Take back the things that you lost. Take your health back. Take your family back. Take your finances back right now in the name of Jesus. Take it back. Take it back. We stand in agreement. One will put 1,000 and two 10,000, and we put all of them to flight in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've come to battle for us, that you've come to battle for our minds, that we have the mind of Christ, that we understand that right now you are setting us free. We put our hope in you. We put our trust in you. Yeah, I thank you, God. I thank you that this Christmas season, I really do. I've said it a couple of times in here, guys. I really think before the end of the year that a lot of you in here are going to step into something that you've been waiting for. And when you do, I want you to get up. When he asks for testimonies, I want you to get up and I want you to say it. I want, you know what? I've been wanting this and this happened. I've been wanting my family healed and this happened. I have had this pain in my neck about 3 years, and you know, it's one of those pains that even on a good day, it's still there, right? And maybe a week or two ago, I noticed it was gone. I didn't do anything. I haven't even prayed for it. But a couple times, I heard the Lord say, "You haven't said thank you." But legit. And I was like, "Oh, sugar." It's because I was afraid that if I did, that it really wasn't gone. Can I just be honest? Like, I was afraid, like, I don't want to, you know, and then, oh, I give a testimony, and then the next week, I'm like, hi, you know what I mean? I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. But the Lord was like, but your thanks is what seals what I've done. So even if it's just a little bit, even if you just see a little bit of change, even if you just see a little bit of difference, give him thanks. Give it as a testimony, because the testimony is what releases the power of God to finish it. I love you, people. I'm so grateful that I'm in Defiance. So grateful that you forced me and my family to come, and I hope that you got something out of this.
Amen.